You may have heard of the expression, seeing is believing. If I see it with my own eyes, then I will believe it. I don't know if I believe your testimony about it, but if I could just see it myself, touch it, feel it, then I would believe. And it's not even that I disbelieve you, it's just that I'm not sure that I do believe you. But if I see it myself, then I will believe it. Seeing is believing. But as it turns out, the reality is that that expression is not quite as universal as it sounds. We don't always see what we believe. After all, have you ever watched a magician? Do you think that the rabbits really disappeared? Do you think the objects really float in the air? Our people are really cut in half? You watch them do it, but you don't really believe them, I hope. You don't believe them. After all, you know better, right? We've seen magicians long enough to know that it's all sleight of hand. Or consider a case in the justice system. A prosecutor makes the case, or the person suing presents their evidence. And depending on the credibility of the witness and the evidence, people decide if someone is innocent or guilty. And yet sometimes juries end up as hung juries. They can't decide. They can't agree. Sometimes seeing isn't believing. Two people look at the same evidence and come to contradicting conclusions. Well, today, as we study the Gospel of John, what we see is that the crowds have come to conclusions about Jesus, but they haven't come to the conclusion that we ought to expect. Most of the crowd is going to reject Jesus, even though he just did a miracle. And the question is, why do so many people reject Jesus? Let's look at our text together, John chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 22 today. If you're visiting with us, you're welcome to use one of the church Bibles. You'll find this in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And again, we'll begin in verse 22. John 6, 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him there on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." They said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see you and believe? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Verse 32, Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Verse 41, so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, "I come down from heaven"? Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God, 'Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Verse 52, the Jews then disputed among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Verse 60, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. This is the word of God. Let's pray together. God, our Father, what a joy to gather as your people and to look at your word. As we gather this morning, Lord, help our hearts to focus, help our minds to be attentive. Help us to see the glory of your gospel, to see your work to save sinners like us. And help us to rejoice in what you've done. Help us to worship our Savior. Help us to worship the Father who gives to his Son people to save. May we praise the Spirit who gives life. Lord, may we worship you for all that you are and all that you've done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's narrative presents this amazing dialogue between Jesus and the Jews. Just last week, we studied the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. That crowd included 5,000 men, which means it's probably a crowd more like 20,000 people. When you count the women and the children in this crowd, followed Jesus to this desolate area by the Sea of Galilee. And there Jesus taught his disciples, and evening came and the people needed food. There wasn't food available, and so Jesus created food for these 5,000 men plus the women and children. And they all ate till they were satisfied, and then there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And then that night, the disciples headed across the sea to Capernaum, and they got caught in a storm. And Jesus walked out on the sea and rescued them in their boat and delivered them safely to the other side. Jesus demonstrated his power to create, and he demonstrated his power over creation. As we begin our text today in verse 22, the crowd figures out that Jesus' disciples have left in a boat, but Jesus wasn't on the boat. So other boats come, and they are trying to find Jesus where he had fed them, but they can't find him. Jesus is gone. And so they head over to where the disciples are to try and figure out what has become of Jesus. In verse 59, it seems like where they find Jesus is the synagogue at Capernaum. But we're going to go back to verse 25 and read together. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." Here's the first key theme that I want us to see in our text. Jesus gives eternal life only to everyone who believes in him. To say that differently, Jesus gives eternal life to everyone who believes in him, and Jesus gives eternal life only to those who believe in him. Jesus gives eternal life only to everyone who believes in him. These people are seeking Jesus, and that sounds good, right? They're trying to find Jesus. Maybe they believe in him. They want to know more from him. Actually, no. In verse 26, Jesus tells them they are not seeking him for the right reasons. They're not seeking him because they saw the signs. They watched the sign. They ate the sign. But they didn't see the sign. They saw, but they didn't see. They saw, but they didn't believe. They're seeking Jesus not because they've believed in him and what the sign represented, but because they were able to eat dinner. They're seeking Jesus because they want their stomachs filled. They have missed the point. So even though they're seeking Jesus, they haven't really found him. They haven't really believed in him. They do not believe in Jesus. And so Jesus tells them in verse 27, they need to quit working for the kind of food that perishes. They're working for food for the here and now. And Jesus tells them to work for the food that endures to eternal life. Jesus is the Son of Man, and he will give them food that endures to eternal life. And Jesus has the authority to give them this food because the Father has set his seal on Jesus. So Jesus is redirecting them, but they do not understand. They ask Jesus what works they have to do to be doing the works of God, which means, "We want to do the works of God, just tell us what works to do. We want to please God, we want to do whatever works please God, tell us." And isn't that quite commonly what people want to know? Just tell me what to do. What are the works I need to do to be saved? What are the works I need to do to be reconciled to God? Just tell me what to do and I will do it. But they've misunderstood, as people often misunderstand. Eternal life is not a reward for doing what is right. We could never do enough right to make up for all that we have done wrong and for all that we continue to do wrong. Jesus gives them the truth in verse 29. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." All the work you must do to be doing the work of God is to believe in Jesus. The work isn't a work at all. The work is simply to believe. And this is why Christianity is so freeing. You do not work your way to God. It is not your effort that reconciles you to God. If you want to inherit eternal life, to spend eternity with God, there's only one work you must do. Jesus gives eternal life to everyone who believes in him. On the other hand, if you do not believe in Jesus, you are not doing the work of God. If you do not believe in Jesus, you are working for food that perishes. But Jesus only gives eternal life to everyone who believes in him, everyone who acknowledges that Jesus is our only hope of salvation. Jesus gives eternal life to everyone who believes in him. Now, if it wasn't clear before, verse 30 makes it very clear. These people do not believe in Jesus. They say, "Show us a sign that we may believe in you." They acknowledge that they don't believe in him. They say, "What work do you do?" perform some miracle for us. For instance, our fathers, they ate the manna in the wilderness. They gave them bread from heaven. Now, it's amazing how blind spiritual blindness is. Right? Jesus gave them bread from heaven yesterday. Jesus miraculously created bread for thousands of people. And now they say, show us a sign. How about you give us bread from heaven? Seeing isn't always believing. Again, Jesus redirects them to the truth. Actually, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. God the Father gives true bread from heaven. This true bread of God is Jesus himself, the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus gives eternal life to everyone who believes in him. The crowd one more time demonstrates they don't understand. Yes, bread, give us the bread. Give us this bread always. We'll never be hungry again as long as we can get this free bread. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Jesus creating bread for the crowd was a sign to demonstrate who he is. He is the bread of life. Jesus is the one who gives eternal life. It's important to note as we read this dialogue that Jesus begins speaking directly. But as the dialogue progresses, Jesus begins to speak more and more metaphorically. This will be important later as we interpret the metaphorical language. We interpret that more figurative language based on the more direct and clear language. And here, as Jesus is speaking directly, although he calls himself the bread of life, look at how one is to respond to Jesus. A person must come to Jesus and will never hunger. A person must believe in Jesus and will never thirst. So how do we respond to Jesus as the bread of life? We come to him in faith. We must believe in him. Jesus gives eternal life to everyone who believes. Jesus is the bread of life. Every other food perishes. Every other food gives life and sustenance for a little while. Jesus is the bread of life that always satisfies. Everyone who comes to Jesus will no longer hunger for reconciliation with God. Everyone who comes to Jesus will never again thirst for salvation because Jesus satisfies everyone who comes to him. Jesus gives eternal life to everyone who believes in him. But Jesus only gives eternal life to those who believe in him. Verse 36, we see that Jesus already knows these people do not believe in him. He already said that they do not believe, therefore they do not have eternal life. At least not yet. There's no eternal life apart from Jesus. Jesus gives eternal life only to everyone who believes. Before we move on, I want to ask you, do you take this seriously? If you're not a Christian, do you recognize your situation that to reject Jesus is to reject God himself? If you consider the danger of your situation, being alienated from God, you cannot please God on your own. Following your path, doing your own thing, will never satisfy God. There's only one way to be made right with God, only way to experience eternity with God. Believe in Jesus. If you reject Jesus, you reject God. You reject your own eternity. But Christians, do we take this seriously? Are we out in the highways and byways warning people of the wrath to come, inviting people to come and to join the feast of life? Are we telling people about Jesus? Christian, do you really believe that Jesus is the only way to have salvation and reconciliation? Or are you looking for something else? Are you hoping for some political solution? Are you more concerned about winning people to your political party than winning people to the person of Jesus? If only the right person would be elected, then everything would be right. That isn't to say we shouldn't care about politics. It's certainly good to work towards the political ends you think will do the most good. But political causes are temporary, and Jesus offers something eternal. We have to understand the centrality of this truth. Jesus gives eternal life only to everyone who believes in him. That brings us back to that question, why do some people believe and others not believe? Some see the signs of Jesus and believe, but others reject him entirely. You share the gospel with some people and they receive it. You share the gospel with other people and they reject it. Why do some people believe and others reject Jesus? Let's read our next section and we'll see the answer. We'll begin in verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Second key theme, only everyone chosen by the Father believes in Jesus. Everyone chosen by the Father believes in Jesus, and only those chosen by the Father believe in Jesus. If we follow the train of thought from verses 35 through 40, what we see is that only everyone chosen by the Father believes in Jesus. From verse 36, it is clear that not everyone will believe. Some believe and some do not believe. Beginning in verse 37, Jesus is explaining why they have seen him but do not believe. And why don't they believe? Well, we can see who does believe in Jesus. Everyone that the Father gives to Jesus will come to him. Everyone that the Father has chosen to give to Jesus will, in fact, come to him. Every single one of them. Further, everyone who comes to Jesus will be his forever. Whoever comes to Jesus, he will never cast out. Have you ever worried about whether Jesus will accept you? Jesus says that everyone who comes to him will never be cast out. You can't be too wicked that Jesus will not welcome you. You cannot be too righteous that you would not need to be received by Jesus. Verse 38, Jesus came to earth from heaven in order to accomplish the Father's will. Jesus always perfectly obeys the Father. And this is the will of the Father, verse 39, that Jesus will not lose any of the ones that the Father has given to him. Everyone that the Father has given to the Son will certainly be raised up to eternal life on the last day. As part of Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father, he will keep every one of those given to him by the Father. So there are some who do not believe, but the ones who do believe are those whom the Father has given to the Son. In verse 40, Jesus summarizes the case. This is the Father's will. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And Jesus will raise him up on the last day. So who believes and has eternal life? Everyone whom the Father has chosen and given to the Son will believe. Everyone who believes will certainly have eternal life. Everyone chosen by the Father believes in Jesus. Let's keep reading because Jesus is going to emphasize this very point, verse 41. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. These Jews continue not to believe in Jesus, and they grumble among themselves. How can he say he's the bread from heaven? We know his parents. We know where he came from. How can he say I've come from heaven? Jesus understands their grumblings among themselves, and so he responds to them. And again, Jesus follows a very clear path. that teaches that only everyone chosen by God comes to Jesus. Verse 44, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. No person comes to Jesus unless God the Father has chosen that person and draws him or her to Jesus. In the middle of verse 44, Jesus will raise him up on the last day. It is absolutely certain that the one who is drawn by the Father will come to Jesus and will be raised up on the last day. Verse 45, Jesus asserts he's simply agreeing with the prophets when they said they will all be taught by God. If you've read the Old Testament narrative about Israel, you know that they were constantly turning away from God. Over and over again, they turned away from God. But God promised a day when he would give his people new hearts and put his spirit within them. God promised a day when they would all be taught by God. Jesus isn't teaching universalism, the thought that everybody is saved, and that's clear from our text because many don't believe in Jesus. All those whom God has chosen will be taught by God. Jesus continues, everyone who has heard from the Father will come to Jesus. Everyone who has learned from the Father comes to Jesus. Not that anyone has seen the Father except Jesus himself, who came from the Father. Only Jesus has seen the Father. But all of God's people hear from the Father and are taught by the Father. All those whom the Father gives to the Son will come to him. No one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. Which is to say that God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. All those whom the Father gives to the Son will be kept by the Son, and they will certainly be raised to eternal life on the last day. Jesus will lose none of the people given to him by the Father. Not one. Our salvation is absolutely secure in Jesus Christ. But notice, Jesus and John, who recorded this, notice that they see no contradiction between God's sovereignty in salvation and man's responsibility in salvation. Jesus is clear here that salvation is of the Father. God is the one who draws some to himself and not others. And yet, Jesus clearly tells these people they must believe in him. Verse 29, this is the work of God. Believe in Jesus, whom God sent. Verse 35, whoever believes in Jesus will never thirst. God is sovereign in our salvation, and yet men are commanded to believe. We have to follow that same understanding ourselves. We believe God is sovereign in salvation, and because God is sovereign, because he has commanded us to share his gospel, we go and share the gospel. We trust that God will work in people's lives to save them. Now, if you're not a Christian, you may be wondering how to respond to this. What am I supposed to do? Wait around for God to draw me? No, look at what Jesus said. Your duty is not to worry about whether you're called. Your duty is to believe. Plead with God for mercy. Ask God for a heart of faith and believe in Jesus. And if you are a Christian, you have no reason to fear that you could ever lose your salvation. Jesus holds on to everyone that the Father has given him. There is nothing you could possibly do in this life that would separate you from the Father's love. So live in righteousness because Jesus has given you his perfect righteousness and you will never lose it. Live to please God because Jesus is holding on to you. Let's read beginning in verse 47 and we'll see our final point. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. End of verse 51. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Final point, Jesus gives his flesh for the life of the world. Jesus gives his flesh for the life of the world. Verse 47, Jesus says, truly, truly, which is a strong assertion of the importance of the truth he's about to teach. Whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Jesus gives eternal life only to everyone who believes in him. Eternal life is not something you can earn by works. You cannot work to achieve reconciliation with God. You must believe in Jesus. And everyone who believes in Jesus has eternal life because Jesus is the bread of life. If you reject Jesus, you have not heard from God. You have not learned from God. If you do not believe in Jesus, you are in conflict with God himself. Verse 48 through 50 are the contrast between the bread of life and the bread of this world. Jesus offers eternal life in himself. The Father sent Jesus down from heaven. I lost my place. There we go. The Father sent Jesus down from heaven, and anyone who eats of Jesus will never die. Those who ate the manna in the wilderness, they all died, right? Everyone from Israel from that era is dead. But the bread we eat, if we eat the bread that is Jesus, it is living bread. If anyone eats of that bread, Jesus says, he will live forever. We eat bread in everyday life, and we do die. You eat the bread of life, you will never die. Verse 51, Jesus is the bread of life. So just as we eat to maintain physical life, you must believe in Jesus, the bread of life, to have eternal life. Jesus is the source of life. Now, Jesus is beginning to speak more metaphorically, and the crowd is beginning to take him more literally. So to live forever, you must eat the bread of life, which is Jesus. Just like a man eats a meal and trusts that it will satisfy him, to have eternal life, you must eat the bread of life and trust that Jesus will satisfy all that God requires. And then in that second sentence of verse 51, Jesus says, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the first time Jesus has mentioned flesh in this passage. Jesus gives his flesh for the life of the world. Jesus gives his body for the life of the world. And the way this will be fulfilled is that Jesus will lay down his life for his people. Jesus doesn't die for the Jews only, but for the entire world. Jews and Gentiles, all classes of people, all races, all nationalities. Jesus gives his flesh for the life of the world. Now remember that we learned last week the Passover is near. In the Passover celebration, they sacrifice a lamb. And that was a reminder of that original Passover when God passed over the houses where there was the blood. The houses were covered by the lamb. But what did they do then to that sacrificial lamb? Do y'all remember? They ate the lamb. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He has satisfied God's wrath for sin in our place. And we must be intimately connected to Jesus' death and his resurrection. Jesus gives his flesh for the life of the world. Now, verse 52, the people don't get it. They're thinking in very literalistic terms. How can we eat his flesh? So beginning in verse 53, Jesus doubles down on his metaphor. Not only do we have to eat his flesh, we also have to drink his blood. Now, Jesus is speaking of his death as a sacrificial lamb. His body would be broken for the people. His blood would be poured out for the people. For anyone to have eternal life, Jesus has to give his flesh for the life of the world. If you would have eternal life, Jesus must be more to you than a prophet, more than a good example, more than a great speaker or a great leader. Jesus has to be the one who died in your place. Jesus paid the price for sin, but you must believe in him and in him alone. We have to delight in the cross of Christ. We have to believe that Jesus on the cross paid for sin. We have to see the blood of Jesus as our only hope and ransom. Those who ate the manna still eventually died. Everyone who eats the bread of life will never die. When this life ends, everyone who has believed in Jesus will enter into eternity. The second death has no hold on the people of God. Verse 60, when many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus in himself, knowing that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." Verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Many of Jesus' disciples leave him over this teaching. They wanted the free bread, but they don't want the blood. Jesus responds by expressing they've taken the offense far too quickly, because even more offensive things are to come. If they're offended by this, what will they do when the Son of Man ascends back to where he was before? Now, in the Gospel of John, we cannot separate Jesus' ascension to heaven from the cross that precedes it. Jesus is lifted up on the cross and dies for his people. He's laid in the grave for 3 days, and then he rises from the dead, victorious over sin and death. And then he ascends back to the Father after having completed his mission. But the cross, the initiation of that ascension, is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. So Jesus is saying to them, if they can't accept his words about flesh and blood given for them, they definitely will not be able to accept his death on a cross for them. If they can't accept the imagery, they will definitely reject the reality. Verse 63 reminds why they've rejected Jesus. The Spirit gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Our flesh wants nothing to do with God. In our natural state, we all reject God. We all reject Jesus. But the Father has chosen to give some to the Son, and the Holy Spirit gives life to all of those who are chosen, and they certainly come to Jesus. All of the Trinity is intimately involved in the salvation of men. The Father gives people to the Son, the Son receives and keeps those people, and the Spirit gives life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all working together to ransom a people for God, to worship him for eternity. In verse 64, there are some who do not believe in Jesus. This is no surprise for Jesus, though. He knew beforehand who would believe in him. We see in verses 70 and 71, Jesus knew beforehand who would betray him. He knew who the Father had given to him, and he knew who the Father had not given to him. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father grants it. No one comes to Jesus unless the Father has chosen him. So all these crowds that end up rejecting Jesus are no surprise to Jesus. And when Jesus is betrayed by one of his very own disciples, one of the 12, Jesus is not disturbed. From the very beginning, Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot would betray him. In fact, this was God's very purpose for Judas being chosen as a disciple. It was all part of God's sovereign plan and foreknowledge to carry about redemption for his people. Notice the dialogue Jesus has at this point with the 12 in verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter, representing them all, said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus gives his disciples a chance to turn, but they won't. Peter answers for the group, "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed, we have come to know, you are the Holy One of God." Jesus has the words of life because Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the Holy One of God. Jesus gives his flesh for the life of the world. Jesus is the bread of life. There is salvation in no one else. You must believe in Jesus. Let's pray to him.